Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Today's sermon text is taken from Genesis 33:4. It reads, "But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept." Sadly, holding on to grudges is one of the leading causes of ruined or failed relationships with family or friends. Just think of how many people you may know, or even in your own family, that won't speak to one another because of a grudge. This verse, our sermon text, is the end result of a bitter grudge held between two brothers, Esau and Jacob. And to provide a background to their story, I'm going to go over some bullet points for time's sake. This story begins in Genesis chapter 25. Isaac and Rebekah conceive. And as Rebekah was moving along in her pregnancy, she felt weird. She asked God, "If all was well, why am I like this?" And Genesis 25:23 states, "And the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger.'" And we're going to pick up on this verse again later on. But so Rebekah was having twins, which meant that one of the twins was in line to be the next patriarch of the founding Jewish fathers that started with Abraham, then Isaac. The firstborn was entitled to the birthright, which was a special honor because, along with becoming the family's future leader, the firstborn would also receive a double portion of the family inheritance. Now, it's funny to learn that these twins, they wrestled for a position inside the womb. Well, Esau was the firstborn, followed by Jacob grasping at his brother's heel. You see, even though they were twins, the main difference between Esau and Jacob was Esau was very hairy compared to Jacob, who was not. As they grew, as a man, Esau, he led an adventurous life as a hunter with an attitude of living in the present, regardless of being entitled of that birthright, which meant to devote one's life to God. It wasn't Esau's priority. He just wanted to hunt. Well, Esau was his father's favorite, Isaac, because Isaac loved to eat whatever Esau had hunted and brought home. Jacob, on the other hand, was his mother's favorite, probably because he was always home with her compared to Esau. Jacob was very cunning. He was very crafty. And Jacob was a future-based thinker that longed for that spiritual birthright. Well, one day, Esau, he had come home from a long journey of hunting. He was very tired, he was very weary, and he was extremely hungry, to the point where he felt like he was going to die unless he had eaten. Well, Jacob had seized this opportunity. He had taken advantage of the situation, and what he did, was he provided a temptation to Esau. He made him a big pot of red stew. And he used it as a bargaining chip to get that birthright. Well, Esau decided to part with the birthright. And that chip worked. Esau, what he did was he sacrificed the future blessings of God for a momentary indulgence, which is a sidebar application I want to apply to ourselves as well. Believer, do you exchange the heavenly blessings or rewards for momentary things on the earth? It's something to consider, something to think about, and it's something that only you can answer yourself. You see, there are many reasons why people choose not to receive Christ, and this is one of them. Instead of looking ahead to what we will all face, death, it's appointed for all men to die. Many people rather focus on the present. Focus on that indulgence that is right in front of them. Which can be money, which can be lust, which can be anything not of God. And that is what Satan wants to use to draw us away from God. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from their faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Replace that word money with sin, which many rather hold on to than to place their faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is why believers, we need to go out there and share the gospel. Take part in a great commission. Open up people's eyes to what is truly important, their eternal salvation. Remember, salvation isn't only for the people that are down and out, that are broken. Salvation is for everyone. Everyone. The man with the great house, the man with the great family, with the great job. It's for him as well. Because if he doesn't have Christ, where is he going to go when he dies? Hell. And that's why we need to continue to share the gospel. Point people in the right direction. Give the warning sign. Think of yourself as a passerby that just drove by the police officer. And then you see a person driving 50 miles an hour on a 30 mile per hour section. You flick your lights. You're providing that warning for what's ahead. It's his choice to adhere to your warning or not. But then, when he sees the cop, he's grateful if he slowed down that he did adhere to the warning. Just like us, we are grateful as a believer for the warnings that our friends or whoever provided the gospel to us, we listened to and we took to heart. And we are very grateful for that person that shared the gospel to us the same way.
Amen.
Amen. Now back to our story. Jacob wasn't satisfied with just the birthright. With the help of his mother Rebekah, they deceived his father Isaac, whom at the time was very old and basically blind. You see, back then, before a person died, they would give their blessings, which was basically handing over officially the birthright. You see, even though Jacob was entitled to that birthright, it was not officially his until the blessings were pronounced. Because the father could take away that birthright and give it to the more deserving son. And once it was given, it could not be taken away. So they tricked Isaac into thinking he blessed Esau. He basically put on Esau's clothes and covered himself with some animal fur. So when Isaac touched him and felt him, he was thinking he was grabbing Esau, but in reality, he was grabbing Jacob. Once Esau found out about this, he hated Jacob. Genesis 27:41 reads, "So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessings with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob.'" So the end result was a couple things. First, Esau, he ended up fleeing the country. Second, Jacob fled the country. Esau had hatred in his heart for Jacob. Their family was torn by strife. And ironically, those blessings that Jacob deceived Isaac into giving, they were going to be his regardless, if he had only had waited on the Lord. And that's why I want to take you back to that first scripture verse, Genesis 25:23. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other. And the older Esau shall serve the younger Jacob. Let's draw some applications from Esau and Jacob. First, Esau and Jacob have both made bad decisions. And neither of them deserve God's blessing. If we apply this to ourselves, we should be grateful for God's grace. Because we all don't deserve His blessing as well. We deserve His wrath. We all deserve His wrath. Romans 14:13 reads, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. At my gym, Planet Fitness, there are signs all over the place signifying that it is a judgment-free zone. Because who are we to judge others when we have our own flaws? And this attitude should not be contained to just another's appearance, but also their lifestyle, their decision-making as well. You see, sin is a very powerful tool that Satan will use to keep us from God. And everyone may have a different battle with sin. So why judge others that sin differently than us? Just because you may have an area in your life where you can handle temptation better than the other doesn't make you better than the other. There's a quote that states, to hate the sin and not the sinner. Well, praise God that our Savior Jesus Christ overcame all temptation and was sinless. James 4:12 reads, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? We as Christians need to help one another and not judge. Galatians 6:1-5 read, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be able to be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. As we continue with the story of Esau and Jacob, God had told Jacob to return to his homeland, which meant passing through the territory that his brother Esau had ruled. Jacob was very nervous and unsure of the reaction Esau would give him. After all, it was 20 years since he last saw his brother. So Jacob did three things to prepare for his meeting with his brother. First, he sent messengers intending to make peace. Second, he prayed about the meeting with God. And third, He sent presents as they met. As they met, Genesis 33 verses 3 and 4 record that then he crossed over before them and he bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. More applications that we can apply is that Esau and Jacob had 20 years before they reconciled. We are not guaranteed another day on this earth. Not one. James 4, verses 14 and 15 says, "Or else you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away." Instead, you ought to say, "If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." So we can't assume that one day we're going to fix things. One day. Because that one day may never come. So I urge you to pray about any situation you may have in your life. Be still. Listen to God. Let Him direct your steps. Let Him direct your path. Lastly, notice how Jacob, he sent gifts as a way of paving a way for a better reunion. If this concerns you, maybe you should send a letter to the person you wronged, or vice versa, to forgive. You see, a grudge is nothing more than a refusal to forgive. And forgiveness will set you free. Love your neighbors as yourself. Many times, right actions will lead to right feelings. You may be attending this service or listening via internet and thinking to yourself, "I don't have any grudges against anyone. I don't have any fractured relationships." Then what about your most important relationship with God? If you are unsure, God has blessed us with an opportunity to be reconciled to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. To make things right with Him. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you are already a believer, but you still walk in sin, you see, even though your salvation is secure, your fellowship with God is broken. I urge you to repent and turn from your sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lastly, God has placed this sermon on my heart through a tough lesson that I wish that I hadn't learned the hard way. You see, I had a best friend growing up, and we never had one argument at all. Even one day we had future plans together and some kind of business plan. But one day, I saw this article in the paper. It was in the police section. It was about my friend. You see, he was charged with things that I could not fathom. You see, sometimes accusations are enough to cause walls waiting for convictions. But regardless, I distanced myself. And what started off as days became months and then years. And bear in mind, like I said, we never had one problem with one another. I still kept that newspaper clipping. I put it in my photo album. I don't know, maybe to serve as a reminder. But all I know is thank God that He doesn't do that with us. He forgives our sins. I came to find out that my friend was never convicted in court. And well, recently I found out that my friend passed away at the age of 43. A day that I never thought I'd see. He was in great shape, a health fanatic. But he had a brain tumor, and that's what took him. I found out that he was in the hospital 3 weeks before he died. And I had thought to myself, had I known this, I would have ran to him. I would have ran to reconcile things with him. Not only that, just to find out if he was right with God through Jesus as well. So now instead of a newspaper article that I keep an obituary of my friend instead. You see, because of a grudge, I lost the opportunity to make new memories with him. Because of a grudge, I lost the opportunity to see if he was saved. I lost that opportunity to witness to him. And now, I can only hope. I can only hope that he had Christ in his heart. Life is always changing. Seasons come and go. So I ask you to ask God to free you from any chains, any grudges, any hatred that you may have in your hearts. And move on and forgive as I should have. The last scripture verse is from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. A time to sow, a time to gain, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, first I just want to thank you for your forgiveness for us. None of us deserve it. And we are so grateful, Father, that you do forgive us through your Son, Jesus. Father, I pray that you help us. Help us release any hatred, any hardness that's in our heart towards another. Forgive them as you have forgiven us. Give us the strength, Father. Fill our hearts with nothing but love. Love for one another, regardless of sin. Father, help us continue to glorify you in all walks of life. Free us from any chains that we may have, any bondage. And press on and be true light. Not only in church, but in the city as well, at our jobs, everywhere. Father, we can only do this through you, through the guidance of the Spirit. I just want to thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now we'll offer each other a moment of peace.